The Zodiac and its two passengers had slipped about two-thirds of the way down the steep sides of the funnel. As the cone narrowed in diameter, the speed of the whirling current increased until the inflatable boat spun around like a scrap of lettuce headed down the kitchen drain. The boat had remained at the same slanting attitude with its bottom parallel to the side of the vortex. Gamay and Paul sat side by side, so close they seemed to be joined at the hip. They were holding on to the boat's safety line and to each other. They were numb with exhaustion from riding in a half-standing, half-sitting position, with their bodies angled and feet wedged under the lower pontoon. Moisture had seeped in around their rain gear, soaking their clothes, and the cold added to their misery. At their accelerating rate of descent, it was clear that their suffering would end soon. They were minutes away from plunging into the thickest part of the billowing mists. Gamay glanced upward for one last look at the sun. She blinked, unable to believe her eyes. A man was dangling above the Zodiac. He was silhouetted against the dull sunlight, and she couldn't make out his face, but there was no mistaking the broad shoulders. Kurt Austin. He hung from a line attached to a helicopter. He'd been waving his arm and shouting himself hoarse, but the noise from the whirlpool had drowned out his voice as well as the sound of the whirling rotors. Gamay dug her elbow into Paul's side. He managed a grim smile when he followed her pointing finger with his eyes and saw Austin doing his Peter Pan imitation above their heads. The helicopter was matching the Zodiac's speed around the inside of the whirlpool. In an amazing example of stunt flying, Zavala flew the chopper at a banking angle to keep its rotors from touching the funnel's watery walls. A miscalculation, a drift of a few feet, and the helicopter would come crashing down on the Zodiac in a whirl of broken rotors. The rescue had been hastily improvised. Austin and Zavala had seen the satellite image of the gigantic disturbance bearing down on the Franklin and had leapt into the Throckmorton's rescue chopper. A radio message to the NOAA vessel confirmed that Gamay and Paul Trout were out in the thick of things. As the helicopter descended into the whirlpool, Austin had spotted a small flash of bright yellow more than halfway down the side of the funnel. He recognized Trout's foul weather gear immediately and pointed it out to Zavala. The helicopter chased after the whirling Zodiac like a cop pursuing a speeding car. Austin quickly tied a series of man-harness hitches in the rescue line. He had his foot in one of these loops and his hand in another as he swung back and forth in the turbulence caused by the rotor downwash and the updraft from the whirlpool. Trout motioned for Gamay to go first. She waved at Austin to signal that she was ready. The helicopter dropped lower until the bottom loop of the ladder was about a foot from her outstretched hands. The line came down. Gamay balanced herself precariously, threw her hands up like a volleyball player trying a block, and she grabbed the lower loop with both hands. She became airborne. She hung on with one hand, grabbed the next loop, and pulled herself higher. The rope spun as she climbed, increasing the effects of vertigo. She faltered for a moment and might have fallen, but Austin saw that she was in trouble. He reached down, grabbed her wrist, and hauled her to the next loop. She raised her chin, saw Austin's fierce grin a few feet above her, and mouthed a silent thanks. With the bottom loop free, it was Trout's turn to abandon the Zodiac. With a cool hand at the controls, Zavala moved the helicopter back into position. Trout concentrated his full attention on the lowest loop, estimated its distance. Then, using the springiness in the pontoon of the rubberized boat, he lunged up and grabbed the line. He held on to the single loop with one hand, unable to grab on to a higher handhold as he twisted in the wind. The helicopter began a slow, steady ascent, moving up in an angle roughly parallel to the whirlpool's sloping side. Soon the helicopter was even with the water level at the surface, then above it. Zavala began to move the helicopter laterally, away from the vortex. Trout had been unable to pull himself up to another loop. He still dangled with one outstretched arm. His fingers were raw from rope burn. He felt as if his elbow socket would pop at any second. Throughout the entire ascent, he had twisted at the end of the swinging line. Zavala was trying to balance the need to put distance between the helicopter and the whirlpool with the added strain that would be placed on his human cargo by an increase in the chopper's speed. As they flew above the wavetops, Austin could see the NOAA ship and the Throckmorton cutting the distance in their direction. He glanced down, and his eyes grew wide at the sight that greeted them. The whirlpool had virtually vanished, and in its place was a great, dark circle of slowly rotating water, filled with every kind of ocean debris imaginable. At the center of the puckered area was a massive bubbling, like that made when a scuba diver is about to surface, only much bigger. Then the water rose in a greenish-white mound, and a huge object emerged from the sea and wallowed in the waves. In its death throes, the maelstrom had disgorged a ship.